Thank you, Ms. Lisa. And thank you for coming to worship with us today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. We appreciate you worshiping with us today, whether you're a regular or visitor. And if you feel like it, you can, on the little tear-off tab, you can write some information so we'll have a record of it, and we won't hound you, but we will let you know we're praying for you. Let me mention, too, the prayer room right off of this area a little bit, beyond the kitchen just a little bit, is open during the service, after service, and any time. So let me mention that again. Revelation chapter 13. Today, as we get into Revelation chapter 13, let me mention that in the 1730s and 40s, in New England, evangelist Jonathan Edwards, you've probably heard of him, he was a very important factor in a revival that began, the Great Awakening that happened during that time. In the 1850s, another revival broke out in New York City when a businessman named Jonathan Landfair, he began to pray. And at first, there was only six people that came to his first meeting. Within 6 months, however, there were 10,000 businessmen that was praying in New York City alone, and revival broke out. And so there have been pockets, there have been revivals in our time. With our nation as it is, as you and I know it is today, ungodly politicians and ungodly judges and the mass media twisting what's right to believe it's wrong and vice versa and all of that, we need another Jonathan Landfair in America. And there is coming a worldwide revival one day. The Bible speaks of it in Revelation chapter 13. But it's not a revival of God. Unfortunately, it's going to be a satanic revival. Satanic revival coming. People will not be turning to God. They'll be turning to Satan. Revelation chapter 13. If you're able to, I'm going to ask you to stand as we read just a few verses out of Revelation 13. First one says, "And I stood on the sand of the sea," John says, as receiving this vision from the Lord, "and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns, and on his head, on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear. His mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon, which is Satan, gave him his power, his throne, and great authority." Father, bless your word. In Christ's holy name, amen. Please be seated. I want you to know a few things about Revelation chapter 13. First of all, I want you to know about the arsenal. What all he has in his quiver. What he has up his sleeve. The dragon meaning Satan. The arsenal of the dragon. It tells us in verse 1 through 4 and 12 through 15. It tells us that he's going to have a sea beast. And he is going to have a land beast. During the Great Tribulation period now, The church has already been raptured out. This world is at a time that's never been before. Violence, hatred, murder, plagues, the sun and moon and stars are reduced by a third, and all of many, many other calamities are going on. And so Satan is going to unleash, God's going to allow this to happen, a sea beast and a land beast in verse 12 through 11. John, this is his vision. The ancient word for beast is wild and ravenous and extremely dangerous. John calls him a beast, not a dragon, which he's dragon meaning Satan. So this creature is like the dragon, and he represents a dragon, but he's not the dragon. But he is the epitome, you could say. He carries out the duty of the dragon. He has seven heads and ten horns. So he's identified like the dragon. Satan has seven heads and ten horns as well. We know that from Revelation chapter 11. But any creature that has seven heads is going to be extremely hard to kill. Could you imagine? If you had a farm and you had a bull that kept getting out and it had seven heads and ten horns, it would be extremely difficult for you to corral that bull. Now, grew up in rural Mississippi, we had a bull one time on a dairy farm that kept jumping the fence, and we couldn't keep the bull from jumping the fence. He had plenty of cows on our pasture, but he wanted another pasture, so he kept jumping the fence. And so we put a log chain in his nose. That's where those rings belong, isn't it, nowadays? They belong on cows, not people, amen? And so we put a log chain in his nose about that long, and it was heavy. And so the bull would have, it was hard on him, but we could not keep the bull out of somebody else's pasture. And so we had to, because they would eventually maybe kill our bull. So the bull would walk around every day, like he was sad. He couldn't jump the fence anymore. And one day, I guess he got up enough nerve. He tried to jump the fence, and the log chain caught in the fence, and he landed on his back, and it broke his back. And so we had we had hamburgers, and we had steaks from that bull after that day. But I couldn't imagine if we had to put, seven nose rings in, log chains. What a enormous creature this is going to be, and a violent creature that's coming out of the sea. Could you imagine? I can't imagine. It is the hyphenation of evil, we're told. Verse 12 through 15 gives us a second beast, and it is a beast that is coming. Obviously, it's coming out of the land. And so it says there, this beast exercises all the authority of the first beast. So he can do whatever the first beast does and even more. The beast rising from the earth is essentially a prophet, a satanic prophet who leads the world to worship the Antichrist and the dragon, who is Satan. It may seem far-fetched to some that the world would be led into worshiping Satan or worshiping a man or worshiping nature, but men have an undeniable rebellious spirit to want to worship something or someone other than God. What men want is not to eliminate religion. Men want to eliminate God. Men want their own religion. Men, as a general rule, don't want God in their lives. And we know that. We can look at society and see that. We Christians do, we that love the Lord and worship Him, but those who are outside don't understand what we understand. Let me give you the second truth today I want you to know about Revelation 13. I want you to know about the audacity. Not just the arsenal, land beast, sea beast, and we could go on and on for hours with that, but I want you to know about the audacity. They are blasphemous. The dragon is blasphemous, which is Satan. And he is extremely deceiving, and he's going to be worshipped. We see that in verse 5. Notice in verse 5 it says that he speaks blasphemies. He speaks great things and blasphemies, it says there. So this beast is a man who speaks against God, and everything he says is it and God stands for, he hates. He hates, it tells us there, he hates God's name. That's why we're careful about saying, oh my, you know, gee, and all that stuff. We've got to be careful with God's name, Christian, amen? The world's not going to be careful with God's name, but we who are saved by the blood of Jesus are to be careful with the precious name of God. And so, in the Lord Jesus' name and the Holy Spirit as well. And so, look here, he's speaking blasphemy against the name. He's speaking blasphemy against God's tabernacle, God's church. You and I know how many people in this world say, I hate church. Can't stand the people in that church. Because they don't understand. We're not perfect. We mess up. We've done wrong we shouldn't have done. But we're trying to do better. We're allowing God to work on us. We're trying to improve. We're sorry we said that or we did that. But we understand forgiveness and the world doesn't understand that. Satan speaks blasphemous, great blasphemy against his name, his church, his tabernacle. And not only that, against you. All those who dwell in heaven. All those who've been raptured. Satan is going to speak during the tribulation period blasphemy against. How dare those people escape my wrath, is what Satan is saying. How dare God allow them into heaven during the rapture so they won't have to deal with all the evil and violence. And so on this earth, Satan's going to be speaking blasphemy while God has rescued you from during the rapture time from all of this calamity that's going to be going on. You know, a lot of people want to say that Roman emperors were the ones who are mentioned in this text. But it can't be said that they fulfilled these prophecies. For 42 months, we're told that this beast, this second beast that came out of the land, is going to be speaking without restraint. 42 months, 3.5 years. Why does the beast blaspheme those who dwell in heaven? And we just talked about it just a moment ago, because we have been ushered out by the Lord Jesus. We're spared. And the Bible says there that in that text that all those who on the earth will worship Satan. It's going to be a satanic revival, folks. They're going to worship him. The final world dictator is going to demand worship from everyone, from every corner, north, south, east, and west of this globe, of this world, the whole earth. But those who worship him are going to pay a price. They will include those names, it says there in the text, who have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those that have given their life to the Lord Jesus. And like many godless, selfless, prideful people of our day, most people of the Great Tribulation period will sell their souls so they can buy food, so they can eat, so they can drink, so they can do whatever they want to do. I don't know what all these evil folks and dragons and all this other stuff God is going to really unleash on this world. But we know, those of us that have trusted the Lord Jesus, we're going to be gone. We're not going to have to be dealing with this. But not very many in that time. We know there are a lot going to get saved. With those 144,000 evangelists begin to preach, but more are going to be drawn in so they can buy and sell, and so they can function. They can go to Walmart or wherever they want to go. They can watch TV or whatever they need to do during the Great Tribulation period. So they can go get their medicine, all of that. They're going to have to sell out to the devil, the Bible says. And so after all the great rulers of the 20th century, Lenin and Stalin and Hitler and so on, and the type of leadership we have in our world today, all our liberal judges and everything else, it's not very hard to imagine a world worshiping a man. And that's what's going to happen. It's not hard for the world to see, to have a man demand worldwide worship, and because you want to eat and feed your family and go to the drugstore and everywhere else, those that are down here on this earth, it's not hard to imagine them saying, I've got to take care of my family. I've got to do this and I've got to do that. And then all of a sudden, before they know it, they've yielded to the Antichrist. They've yielded to Satan, and they have the 666 then put on their forehead or wherever it's put on their hand or forehead or in their hand. I don't know. We don't know for sure. Notice verse 7 and 8. It speaks of all authority was given to the Antichrist from every tribe, tongue, and nation. All the authority, which means all over the world. Tribe, tongue, and nation covers everybody. It doesn't matter if you live in the bush somewhere and there's no television, no cable, no cell phone access, anything. All authority is given to the Antichrist over every tribe, tongue, and nation. So from this text, it's clear to me and others that the government is going to have its hand in this as well. The government of the beast will be involved in the killing of any of those who do not take the mark of the beast. All of those who do not pledge allegiance and worship the beast, the Bible says, will be killed. And so the audacity, we could go on and on about the audacity of the dragon. We could go on and on about the arsenal of the dragon. But I want you to know also about the abomination of the Satan or the dragon. We see it in verse 12. It talks about it in verse 12 through 18. The animated image. This is really just unimaginable. The animated image and identifying mark that's going to take place during the Great Tribulation period. Verse 12 talks about the second beast is going to perform great signs. The beast rising from the sea is also going to be performing signs and wonders as well to back up his false teaching as well. And one of the specific miracles of the false prophet is that he makes fire come down from heaven. That's what the Bible says there. He makes fire come down from heaven to the earth in the sight of men so that men will just be in awe of what they see. And it's important to note that John, when he's receiving the vision from the Lord Jesus, that he mentions this miracle. He highlights it. And so to deceive the whole world, the false prophet is going to do something that Elijah has done in 1 Kings. And we can only imagine the prophet, this false prophet saying something on CNN or MSNBC or Fox or wherever, all the radio, television and radio stations. I can imagine this false prophet announcing all over the world, let the true God call down fire from heaven. And then he calls the fire down. And everybody that's taking the mark of the beast or considering taking the mark of the beast are just in awe of that and said, this must be a man of God. But he's not. He's a deceiver. Just like Satan is. Just like Satan says, go ahead and do what you want to do. Live the life you want to live. And then when we do it, he pours all that guilt upon us and said, look at what you've done. Look how bad you are. You should never go back to that church again. You should never claim that you're a Christian. Look at what you've done. And you and I know that is not of God. We mess up Christians sometimes, don't we? We do say things and do things we shouldn't do. We ask for forgiveness, so we move on. We ask the person that we've harmed for forgiveness and move on. But one day there's going to be a time in this world when that we have never seen before. There is a supernatural power, dear friend, against God. There has always been, according to a guy named Seiss, he says there's always been a devilish supernaturalism in the world running alongside of the supernaturalism of divine grace and salvation. In other words, there's always been God's divine grace work operating in this world behind the scenes where we can't see. And then there's always been running along on this side a devilish, evil supernaturalism of the devil that's trying to always get in the way, counter in some way. We know in the days of Exodus, Aaron performed miracles. And up to certain points, the miracles of the magicians in Aaron's day and the soothsayers, their miracles was almost match for match. Now, God's went beyond that, but up until a point, they were able to do miracles too. So, dear friend, during the Great Tribulation period, up to a certain point, God's going to allow these evil, devilish, abominational figures to perform miracles that's going to amaze and startle those that are down here on this earth. We're told there in the text, too, that a false prophet was granted power. This is amazing to me. Look at what it says in 12 through 15 through 18. A false prophet was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast. So there's an image. There's a little carving somebody made. Maybe they're in the bush. They didn't have a television or a phone, but they can carve a little image of the beast. And they've got their little carved image. Maybe somebody else went to the dollar store and bought a bunch of them for their family. I don't know. Maybe they're on sale at Walmart. The low price dealer. And so you can go and get all you want and you can hand them out. I don't know how it's going to happen. But I do know there are going to be some images of the beast. And my understanding is going to be everywhere. Every household. Some kind of way. Maybe on your smartphone. Maybe on your computer. I don't know. There is going to be an image of the beast, though. That's what it says here. And the image of that beast, notice what it said, should both speak. Can you imagine that? You pull up your phone, you're trying to call somebody, and all of a sudden there comes the image of the beast. And he's talking back at you, saying, it's time. It's time for you to bow down to Satan right now. That's what he's doing. You've got a little animated figure on your shelf. And all of a sudden he begins to speak, saying, now is the moment for you, all over the world, for you to bow down. Because I'm about to call fire down from heaven. Now you're to bow down to the image. And so that's what it says. It says the image is going to speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. In other words, if you don't bow down, and that little image on your phone or that little image you have on your mantle or that little image in your bedroom or wherever it may be on your television says bow down, and you don't bow down, you're going to be killed. Obviously, if you don't bow down, you don't have 666. On your body. You haven't taken the mark of the beast yet. You're going to be killed, is what it says, if you don't. The false prophet is going to use a deceptive, animated image as a focal point of worship for the beast. The image of the beast is animated. I don't understand it in some way, but it has breath and it can speak. And it'll be very impressive to those who see it because it's going to cause those who don't worship it to be killed, is what the Bible says. And we know from Scripture the idolatrous image is what Jesus, Daniel, Paul, and others spoke of as the abomination of desolation. In verse 16 through 18, we're told that the false prophet causes all those to receive the mark of the beast. In other words, again, the government is probably involved in this in some way. And everyone who succumbs to it will be given the mark. Without the mark, no one will be able to participate in the economy. No one will buy or sell. That's what the Bible says. No one will be able to buy and sell in any way, not even a little bit, without taking the mark of the beast. And we know from verse 18, the mark of the beast is 666. That's what we're told. No mark means no buying or no selling, no providing for your family. You know, the technology, years ago we would say the technology is not here. But today we can't say that, can we? Technology is right in our hand, right in our schools, right in everywhere we go. Doctor's office, airports, wherever. It's everywhere. The satellites have been set in place to shine a beam so that there can be a signal anywhere. Dear friends, I want you to know, though, Satan is not a creative being. He's not very creative. He's been doing this same stuff, this same deception. What God does, he tries to duplicate it over and over and over. All he can do is a spinoff of what God does. God has a prophet, he has a false prophet. God has a son, he has a false son. God does miracles, he does miracles. He does all this deceptive stuff. And we know God has a plan for your life, but you and I know the devil wants you to follow his plan. So, here's the question, or here's the statement. If you're saved, say it within you, within everything you are, say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me, for protecting me from all this calamity that we're going to see during the Great Tribulation period. Thank you, Lord. I don't deserve to be spared of it, but you have decided to spare me and all the other believers, the real believers, not the ones who just come to church and then don't act like it the rest of the week. People that's been changed by the Lord Jesus, that are a new creature, that not they're not who they used to be. But if you say, I don't know if I'm in that category. I don't know if I've really am a follower of Jesus. I would say I prayed a prayer. I did a religious ceremony. I was confirmed. I was baptized. I did this and that. But do I have a different? Do I love what God loves? Do I hate what God hates? Do I love God or the things of God more than anything else? Now, we're not perfect. Again, I'm not asking you. We're not talking about perfection. I'm talking about trusting Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, under the sound of my voice, I ask, Lord, if there are some that are struggling with this, Father, that right where they sit, they would ask you, Father, am I saved? Am I truly one of your children? I know I'm one of your creation, but am I one of your children? Lord, if you come back with a conviction and the answer is no, may they just surrender. May they just cry out to you right where they sit and ask you to save them and ask you to forgive them of all of their sins and to trust Jesus who died on the cross for our sins as their Lord and Savior today. Lord, maybe some that just need to get back on track. They've gotten off track and they just need to repent right where they sit. Maybe there's others need to follow in believers' baptism. Whatever it is, Lord, or be a part of this fellowship. You have your way in our remaining moments. In Christ's holy name, amen.